Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Welcome once again to Before You Buy, our review show that features the entire TWiT staff. I love this idea. I thought, well, we should let everybody get a chance to review these products. So we've asked everybody. We get all these great products in. We've asked everybody to take a look and pick the ones they want to review. We're going to kick things off with the old redhead, Chad Johnson, taking a look at a brand new Windows Phone 7.5, the first from Nokia. Chad?
Hi, my name is Chad Johnson. I'm with twit.tv and Before You Buy, and I am reviewing the Nokia Lumia 710 smartphone. First off in this review, let's start with the things that you can't see. It is priced at $49.99, and it is on T-Mobile. This is a 4G-capable phone, and it has Windows Phone 7.5 Mango on it. On the back, there is a 5-megapixel camera with an LED flash, and this camera and phone is capable of taking 720p resolution video. Inside, there is a 1.4 gigahertz processor. That's not a dual-core processor. That's just a single-core processor, and there is also 8 gigabytes of internal storage. Now let's move on to the hardware. This is an entry-level phone. It's as you can tell by the $50 price tag, it's not meant to be the best and fastest phone on the market. The first thing that I noticed when picking up the phone is it's fairly thick. This is a fairly thick phone in the hand. It feels really nice because it has these nice beveled edges, but it's just about as thick as my original Droid from about 3 years ago. There is a 3.7-inch VGA LCD display. This is not an OLED display. Although blacks look very black because inside this phone, Nokia is touting a clear black display. This is one of Nokia's own technologies. And so blacks come in very, very black, and colors really do pop, even though this is not an OLED display. On the bottom here, there is a singular rocker button, so that depending on where you press, you'll hit either the left, center, or right button. But this is all just one piece of plastic. It feels a little shallow. It doesn't really give as much of a click as I'd want. One thing I was disappointed about this phone is the glass. While it is Gorilla Glass, and it's touted as Gorilla Glass, it doesn't have the same coating that most Gorilla Glass has, at least it seems like to me. Fingerprints really showed up really quite bad. On other phones that I've had Gorilla Glass on, I could wipe it on my pants, and those fingerprints would go away. And that's not true here. Fingerprints stay on this glass for quite a long time. In fact, I found carrying around a microfiber cloth was the easiest way to get this screen cleaned and to not have it completely smudgy all the time, which is something that really, really bothers me. Now let's move on to the software. This is, like I said before, Windows Phone 7.5. It runs really snappy on this phone. It has all of the things that make a Windows phone great, like a dedicated camera button, and it's just a really snappy design and interface. I feel like the moment that I hit buttons, it automatically does what I want it to do, which is really, really great. When you get the phone, it comes preloaded with a few apps. One of them is Nokia Drive, which is which is Nokia's version of a GPS sort of style map interface, where it has a 3D rendered map that will show you turn by turn directions. Now let's move on to the pros and cons, starting with the cons. The single button was really annoying to me, so I'm going to mark that in my cons list. Also, Windows Phone, while it is a great interface and a really great design, there's not a ton of apps, so I have to knock it on the operating system. That's not actually the phone, though. That's just the operating system. And also, My device had a broken mic where I couldn't make calls out. If I put it on speakerphone, you could hear me fine, but I don't really want to walk around on speakerphone all the time. So that was a problem with my device, not really the phone. Other than that, let's move on to the pros. This runs Windows Phone 7 really, really well. It feels really snappy in the hand. On top of that, the camera is also incredibly snappy. Just by clicking and taking a picture, it seems to be really, really fast. And I really, really like that as well. Also, the price. It was $49.99 on T-Mobile, and that is a very appealing price, especially for someone who wants an entry-level smartphone and something that runs the operating system on this phone so well. That is very, very appealing to me. Buy, try, or don't buy? I'm going to say try. While I really, really like this phone, it won't be for everyone. This is an entry-level phone. So if the price dictates how you buy your phone, I would really suggest this phone. If price is not an option, or price your budget is a little bit higher, I would really suggest going with a higher-end phone like the Lumia 800. But that all depends on what type of person you are. So that is why I'm going to say try for the Lumia 710. This has been Chad Johnson with Twit.tv and Before You Buy. Thanks for watching, and I will see you next time.
You know, I think really people are going to want to wait and see what Nokia does with the 900. I've played with it a little bit, and it looks awesome, but it won't be out for a little while yet. Next week, we will review the 800, which is the European version of the 900 that will be available unlocked in the U.S. Pretty soon. Next up, Nicole Lee, the producer of our show, with Ease. These are Motorola's newest Android tablets. They call them the Zyboard.
I'm Nicole Lee from the Twit Network, and I'm reviewing the Motorola Droid Zyboard, both the 8.2 version and the 10.1 version. Now, these two Zyboards are essentially the successors to the Motorola Zoom from last year, and I have to say it's much improved over the Zoom. Like, they're so much thinner, the build quality is excellent, and we'll get more into the hardware later on. So both of these two tablets have very similar specifications. They both have a 1.2 gigahertz dual core processor. They both have very similar screen resolution, 1280 by 800 IPS. And as you can see, I'm just going to hold the 8.2 version for a little bit here. And the screen quality is just amazing. Just very crisp, very vibrant, really great colors on this device. Now, I have to say, I prefer the 8.2 version over the 10.1 version just because it's a lot slimmer and lighter to hold. The downside of the slimness is that the battery is not removable. Also, I'm not too happy about the placement of the power and volume controls. They're located behind the tablet as opposed to on the top or the bottom where they usually are. Both of these tablets come with two cameras, a front-facing camera as well as a rear-facing camera. The rear camera is 5 megapixels and the front camera is around 1.3 megapixels for video calls mostly. Aside from the screen size, another difference between the two tablets is that the 10.1 version comes with an active pen stylus. This means this comes with a AAA battery and you have to use this particular pen to write or draw on a display. No other stylus will do. In fact, when we tried to use the stylus with the smaller tablet, that wouldn't work either. So this tablet and stylus are paired together. Like with the HTC Jetstream, we found the stylus a little bit problematic. There's no place to put it. There's no slot in the tablet to sort of hold the stylus in. There is a little handy-dandy sleeve that comes with the tablet, but we find it's a little bit flimsy. Both of these Zyboards come with support for Verizon's 4G LTE network. In my experience, it proved to be super fast and really reliable, especially in big cities like San Francisco. However, the 4G LTE service does drain the battery quite a bit. We tried using the Zyboard without the 4G LTE service, and it lasted a full day really easily. With the 4G LTE fully loaded and running, maybe a few hours at best. The pricing is where I really have a problem with the Motorola Zyboards. The small 8.2 version here is $379, and the big one is $479 with a two-year service agreement with Verizon. If you want to go contract-free and just go from month to month, the price goes up. The 8.2 version is around $600, and the 10.1 version is around $700. You can buy Wi-Fi only versions of these Zyboards, but they've yet to be released. And the prices are pretty comparable to the iPad. For example, the 10.1 version is around $500, and the 8.2 version for the Wi-Fi only one is around $400. To sum it up, I really like the Motorola Droid Zyboards. It's lightweight, the build quality is amazing, it's really nice and slim and lightweight, really portable as well. I also think the 1.2 GHz dual-core processor is really powerful. The auto-rotation is really snappy. And the 4G LTE is great to have. However, I just can't get over the price of these two Zyboards. It's around $380 for a two-year contract and $600 without a contract. That's just too much money for me. Also, these two Zyboards come with a lot of Verizon bloatware, you know, the usual Verizon apps like VCast and so forth. There's also no removable battery, and there's no micro SD card slot either. These two Zyboards only come with 16 gigabytes of memory, and that's it. So my final verdict for the Droid Zyboards is try for the 8.2 version because it is really nice and slim and sleek if you can stand the price. And don't buy for the 10.1 version because I think the pen is kind of silly. This has been the review of the Motorola Droid Zyboards. I'm Nicole Lee from the Twit Network.
One of the things that we found is that there are so many more products that we can review in a single half-hour show. We decided to do some quickies, and we've got three quickies. We're going to start off with Sarah Lane reviewing headphones for the ladies. Let's watch.
Hey, everybody. Sarah Lane here. Today, I am reviewing the Altec Lansing Bliss headphones. They're about $70, and they're supposed to appeal to people like me because I am female. Yeah, these headphones are supposed to be for women, more comfortable for our specifically shaped ears, I guess. Now, first I thought, really? I mean, really? But the truth is that in-ear headphones can be pretty uncomfortable. The iPhone headphones are terrible. I hate them. They hurt. These are actually quite comfortable. You've got sort of a nice little shape here with little rubber on the edges. Obviously, those can be interchangeable. You've got a little bit of a nice, I don't know, I mean, I guess you could call it like a style. Black and silver type of a look, but here's where I start to like them less. Okay, I like the in-ear part of it just fine, but there's something weird about the cord here. It's almost like it's made of rope. Now, at first I thought, well, that looks kind of different and interesting. That's great. Maybe it'll get tangled a lot less when I throw it in my purse because I put headphones in my purse all the time. Not true at all, actually. This thing gets tangled really easily, and it's almost in a way worse than the regular in-ear headphones that I'm used to because it tends to stick to itself almost more than rubber, so that I don't like. All right, well, what about the sound? Okay, so if the headphones are in, I've got my rope part of the headphones untangled. Is the sound good? Because that's really what's most important to me. Actually, it isn't. No, it's very tinny. There's something missing in the sound. And I tried this on a song that had a lot of bass and a song that had less bass, and they all had the same problem, was that there were not enough low levels. And I mean, I like my bassy music. So I'm not sure if it's because Altec Lansing thinks this is maybe a safety issue for women, that we would want less space because we'd want to be hearing more about the more from the surroundings around us, or if they're just crappy headphones. I'm not sure, but either way, I don't like it. That's the reason that I would pay $70 for a headphone, is if they sound good. But my final little tiny gripe is, if I'm going to be using these, and they're not super cheap, where is my mic? Why wouldn't I just use my regular iPhone headphones if I'm going to also be answering a phone when my headphones are in? Maybe I'm in my car, I gotta go hands-free, that sort of thing, or up and down volume on my music. I'm really used to that. So these are headphones that in many ways are somewhat useless to me. So if you're a woman and you're looking for new headphones, keep in mind that the audio is kind of tinny. You're not going to get a lot of bass on these headphones. There also isn't a mic. So if you need to talk while you've got your headphones in, this isn't going to work for you. Now the rope styling might be your thing, but it's not going to keep these headphones from getting tangled up in your purse. Those are things to remember. For me, this is not bliss. I'm Sarah Lane from Twit for Before You Buy.
I'm Nicole Lee from Twit, and I'm looking at the Spare One phone, the phone made for emergencies because it runs on just a single AA battery. So let's say you've broken down in the middle of the road and your phone is out of battery. You should have one of these sitting around in your trunk somewhere. All you have to do is pop out the SIM card on your phone and then pop it into the Spare One. That's the only caveat with the spare one phone right now. It only works on GSM devices because you do need a SIM card. This particular one we have here runs on the GSM 1900 and 850 frequency bands. That's for the U.S. market. There are also GSM 900 and 1800 frequency models that will work for the European market. If you have an iPhone and have a micro SIM card instead of the regular size SIM card, Spare One does offer a micro SIM card adapter. At this time, the Spare One phone is set to retail for around $50, which is a good deal for an emergency all-purpose phone like this. Just to sum it up, the Spare One phone is very small and lightweight and has a very long battery life. We also like that it uses a very simple AA battery and is pretty easy to use. The downside is that it's only GSM for now. CDMA users like Verizon or Sprint, you're kind of out of luck. I have to say the Spare One emergency phone is definitely a buy. For the price, you almost can't afford not to have it. This has been the Spare One phone review, and I'm Nicole Lee from Twit.
Hi, my name is Chad Johnson. I'm with Twit.tv, and Before You Buy, reviewing the Games Portable Gaming Case. It's this case right here. It's a briefcase size case, and inside is a television and places to hold your console, keep it safe, that sort of stuff. And this case is compatible with the PlayStation 3S, the Xbox 360 Fat, and the Xbox 360S as well. Continuing with the design, inside there are these pouches, and these pouches are Velcro attached, and inside you can hold your power cords. I have one controller and some extra power cords in here as well. Now about this screen, it is a bright and colorful screen. I really like it, except the one problem is its viewing angle. If you get too far above or too onto one side or the other, you'll definitely notice some discoloration. Now for my pros and cons. Let's start with the cons. It is only a 720p resolution display. That's not that big of a deal for this size of screen, but you will not be able to take full advantage of your console. There are no plugs with this case, so you'll have to go find some wall plugs, and you'll need two of them. One to power the screen, and one to power your console. And there's no cable management, so if you were to bring this to a LAN party and play with your friends, you might have cables sort of bunching up in front of the screen here. They do give you a 6-inch HDMI cable to connect from your console to your screen, which is convenient because you won't have a big 12-inch HDMI cable laying around. Now on to the pros. This case is light. When carrying it around just empty, I was surprised with how light it was, but it also is very durable. I feel like I could really throw this in the back of my car and really feel safe with how protected my console is. Also, I feel like this case is really well thought out. The bottom here swoops to accept CD slots, and the hinge is like this nice piano hinge. I just felt like this case was really thought out from beginning to end, and that I'd be happy with it in the future. This case lists for $300. You can normally find it for about $270 online, and it is available right now. Buy, try, don't buy? I'm going to actually say buy. I really like this case a lot. It was light, it was well designed, and I feel like if you're in the market for one of these portable gaming solutions, this is really the case that you should buy. The screen was really nice. It fits a lot of different types of consoles, and I think that you would be really happy with this purchase.
Actually, I really like the idea of a just kind of like a spare cell phone you have lying around. Doesn't cost you any money, but if you need it, you just pop in a battery. That's kind of an interesting idea. I want to thank Sarah and Nicole and Chad for their quickie reviews. We did full reviews, and we've made those available for you on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/twit, if you'd like to know more. Now it's time for me. You remember a couple of weeks ago, episode one, in fact, I reviewed the Google Samsung Galaxy Nexus phone, and I was, you know, a little dismissive. It is the top of the line Android phone for Verizon, and I think a lot of people said, well, if not that, what? Last week, Jason Howell reviewed the Razr. He liked it, but the battery life is so terrible. So I thought we'd take a look at another Android phone. This is, you know, I guess, third among equals on their top of the line Android phones. This is from HTC. It's called the Resound. And for my money, it's the best. A little thicker and heavier, but that means better battery life. Got a nice rubberized back. And what's important about the Resound is that this particular phone is... Oh, it looks like I missed a call. Wonder who's calling me. This particular phone is 720p. That means it is, in fact, a high-def screen. But not the high-def Pentile screen that I disliked so much on the... Nexus, this is actually a standard LCD screen, and I think it looks a lot better. The color rendition is a lot better. It's HTC's version of Android, and that's one reason I think people didn't want to go with this, because they love the idea of a plain vanilla Google interface. But I happen to like HTC's touch interface. They call it HTC Sense, and I think in many cases, it's one of the best customizations you can find on Android. So if you've used HTC Sense before, you know you like it. Things like the calendar widget, the weather widget that everybody copies. I mean, in fact, this is such a popular widget that I use it on my standard Google phone with beautiful widgets. So I think that in some ways, HTC has established a standard for an improved UI. It's got a great camera, dual flash. Of course, the reason they call it the Resound is they're really focusing on sound. And for that reason, they bundle it with the Monster Beats headphones. These are the Dr. Dre headphones that you can buy standalone, and they have very distinctive red cords and significantly stronger bass. In fact, there's Resound has a Beats software on here to amplify the bass. So, yes, if you like music, especially if you like music with a strong bass, hip-hop and so forth, I think this is a great choice for you. The Resound is a pricey phone, like the Galaxy Nexus. It's a $300 phone from Verizon. It does sport 4G, which I think a lot of you really demand. You know, that's one of the reasons you wanted to get a phone from Verizon. So in all, I would say this is, for me anyway, a buy. So the pros are great audio with the Beats headphones, 1280 by 720 high-res HD display, a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core processor, and an 8-megapixel camera. The cons, it's heavy, probably the heaviest Android phone available from Verizon, and it's $299. It's expensive. Remember, that is now right now Gingerbread, although everybody on these higher-end phones says, yes, yes, we'll have ice cream sandwich soon. One more thing I do like, and you know I don't like ice cream sandwich because of the movable buttons. This HTC Resound does have the capacitive buttons at the bottom. So even when you go ice cream sandwich, your buttons will not disappear. They'll be here down on the bottom, and I like that too. So a strong buy for the HTC Resound. Does that wrap it up? Are we all done? Could it possibly be? How quickly this time flies. Well, I thank you for joining us on our third episode of Before You Buy. Fourth? I must have missed one. Did Tom do the last one? He's doing the next one. All right, Tom Merritt will host episode 5 because we're off to show off many of these same products on Live with Kelly next week. So Tom Merritt will do Before You Buy next week, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks with more great products. Thanks for joining us. And remember, before you buy, make sure you watch Before You Buy. See you next time.